tell your friends to tell their friends to listen to Better Buddies. Hello, and welcome back to Better Buddies. I'm your host, RJ. With us this week, it's James.
What's good in the hood, RJ? What's happening?
I'm not wearing a hood.
What's good in the crew neck t-shirt? Black crew neck t-shirt?
It's a black t-shirt. What is a crew neck?
Crew neck is... It's not the crew V. Neck is just...
It's just a regular, like, oval, right?
Yeah, it's circle
it's
oval.
Neck. And I know you so I'm well. Good. I'm good in the crew neck.
It's good to hear.
Our Better Buddies icebreaker this week. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if woodchuck had a chainsaw?
Well, there's two things to this. would a woodchuck, a true woodchuck, use a chainsaw? Like, would a woodchuck view that in the same
That's
way?
That's not
that,
the question.
Like, If they used a chainsaw. No, but the question,
how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck had a chainsaw?
Probably more than if they didn't have a chainsaw. Because you could, like, when they talk about chucking wood, is that a verb specific to woodchucks? Or do they mean, like, throwing?
I always assumed they meant throwing.
Yeah, right?
I hope.
Why are they called woodchucks? What does that mean? Like, is it just...
They're just rodents.
Yeah, it's just like a random term to throw in there. Like, why chuck? Because, like, I know chuck, chuck is like ground meat, you know? But it's usually like mystery meat, kind of. It's like just like a placeholder.
Oh, you know, so that's probably what it was, though, is they had like... Because there's chuck wagons, right? Of like, oh, the chuck wagon, that's the mess wagon.
Yeah.
And... Woodchucks were probably just, when pioneers were blazing into America, they were like, oh, there's these semi-large brown rodent things in the woods that are not beavers, and we can eat them as we travel, so we're just going to call them woodchucks.
Yeah, I wonder if it actually derived from the fact that they would eat them, and they just call it, they literally just, like, it's not squirrel, it's not rabbit, it's not deer, it's not bear, it's a woodchuck, it's just... The
woods
animal
food.
That lives in the woods. Yeah, exactly.
It's the forest food.
It's the forest food. Yeah.
God, that's a company slogan right there. Tinned woodchuck. It's the forest food.
It's
like the chicken of the sea, except the chuck of the woods.
Oh, man. Dude, that's a whole company. Patent that. Copyright that right now. That's,
and just like chicken of the sea, we'll be putting dolphin meat in.
Yep. Yep, ground woodchuck, 99% ground woodchuck, 1% dolphin.
To give it that fatty texture.
Yeah, exactly. Do they really put dolphin in tuna?
No, I think that was one of those things that's like got blown up into an urban legend kind of thing of like, oh, one tuna ship like caught a dolphin one time or some shit.
Do you eat a dolphin?
Would I eat a dolphin?
Yeah, not a whole dolphin, but I guess would you have? Like, if you saw a dolphin on the menu somewhere, would you be like, I'll try that?
I think it's one of those things I would not be opposed to eating it, but I don't feel it's worth breaking the law to eat it. You know?
Is it against the law to eat dolphins?
I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not endangered, are they? I mean...
Oh, I'm pretty sure they are.
What?
They're at least
That's
protected.
Crazy. Okay.
Like, people don't just fish for dolphins, you know? It's like fishing for whales and sharks.
Yeah.
Because, like,
man,
I've eaten squid eye.
True. Okay.
I've eaten octopus. I've eaten squid, which is different from squid eye.
What does squid eye taste?
Like nothing. There's in the eye of the squid, there is a, like, small, clear, plastic-like, I don't know if it's like keratin or what, but it basically was this little plastic nub thing is the best way to describe it. That was like over the eye. And when I was dissecting the squid, we were told, and these are fresh squid, these are not formaldehyde squid, I hope. We were told, oh, it's superstition that if you eat this bit of the squid, it's 7 years good luck. And I went, well, I could use that, so I popped it.
Was this during, like, a science class or something?
During a seventh grade trip to Florida, but it was, like, a science-based trip, so, like, we kayaked in the Everglades, and we did some snorkeling on the beach in the ocean, and we dissected squid, and we walked a trail in the Everglades, and we swam with dolphins.
Dang, that's really cool. That's, do you feel like you got your, do you feel like you got that 7 years of good luck?
I think I did, but that was also seventh grade. Which implies that sophomore year of college, that luck ran out.
or you just back to your regular level of luck. You know what I mean?
That's not better.
Maybe RJ Mitchell has, maybe R, oh my God, sorry. Dude, have we used your full name before?
I mean, it's on the logo.
That's true. I'm sorry.
It's literally on the logo.
I don't know why.
Only two people have had their full names used on the podcast. It's me and Alex Cetera.
Oh, really?
Because single time he's on, I forget.
My last name has not been said on this podcast? There's no way.
Nope.
Damn. Do you want to say my last name?
No.
All right, fair enough.
I've also eaten sea urchin and whale.
Were those in Japan?
Japan, on sushi.
How was sea urchin?
Not great.
Really?
It's one of those ones where I didn't particularly enjoy it, but also if it was ordered for the table, I would have a piece.
Is it tough? Because it's obviously, it's not the spiky ball, it's the inside.
It's kind of like slime, but like firm slime. But not like jello firm, like kind of like rubber, but not rubber because squid's kind of rubbery and squid is delicious.
Yeah, squid's awesome, dude. Squid tastes so good. I don't know what it is, but well, I'm mainly thinking of calamari. Do you remember the first time you had, like, I'll say calamari. Do you remember the first time you had that?
I do. It was at Rock River Pizza on a calamari pizza.
No way, really?
Deadass.
How old were you?
Roughly? Late middle, early high school.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm cultured.
That's a good memory. Yeah, dude. I love that. That's.
Well, it was like because Rock River used to have pretty like unique and different like pizza of the week or whatever.
You used or, to like, work there
of the
right?
month, huh?
You used to work there, didn't you? You were a dishwasher.
Yeah, for like Sundays senior year of high school.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Well, like, because I showed up for the first day, but nobody told me it was my first day. I thought I was going in for an interview. So I showed up in khakis and a button-up, or like a polo. And they looked at me and said, all right, you ready to get started? And I went, wait, what?
Hey, that's probably how being drafted for the Vietnam War felt.
Kind of, because then I swept and mopped the bar area, and then I went back and got started on the dishes, and I started doing dishes, and I kept doing dishes, and I did dishes, and I did dishes, and I did dishes, and I kept doing them until there were no dishes left to do, and then I mopped up in the kitchen area, and I went out to the bar area and said, okay, I think I've done everything, am I good to go? And they looked at me and said, you're still here.
Holy shit.
I guess their dishwashers usually like went home like a half hour after close. But that meant all the prep dishes, like any dishes that weren't done that night and all the prep dishes from the next day would just sit there for the next person to do. And I was that's fucking stupid. Like,
yeah, just do them.
Just do them. The only reason it took me as long as it did that first night was because I was still learning where everything went. By the end of my time working there, I was cranking through stuff, and I think I hardly ever left any dishes for the next person.
Man.
Of course, I did have to get told, like, hey, stop coming in as early as you are, because I was starting to creep up to, like, an hour early.
Yeah, getting that extra, can't stiff them out of that extra 725 or however.
Oh no, they paid pretty well.
Oh, did they really?
By the end, I was making like $10 an hour.
That's pretty good for the time. That's really good for the time, actually.
Yeah.
So you said though that they had like a pizza. They had a pizza of the week, of the day.
It'd be like a pizza of the week, or like maybe the month. But one of them was a calamari pizza. Yeah. They had a BLT pizza that just became a staple. It was so good. They would just make a pizza with bacon, but then would, after it was cooked, would toss some tomatoes and lettuce and mayo together, and then put that on top.
Dude, holy shit.
Yeah.
That sounds so good. You know what I used to do? This is disgusting. I am just remembering this. Okay. When I was in college, and I, after, like, making...
Real quick, woodchucks can't chuck wood, so it wouldn't matter if it had a chainsaw or not. Continue.
Oh, yeah. I kept forgetting to ask you. So your answer is that it doesn't matter whether woodchucks...
No, doesn't matter. Woodchucks can't chuck wood.
Pretty sure that this icebreaker was...
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if it had a chainsaw? The end of the question is not if a woodchuck could chuck wood. We're not assuming that the woodchuck can chuck wood. Checkmate, atheists.
Damn, dude, we've been outplayed. Holy shit, outmaneuvered. This is, you're like a regular... You just beat the Kobayashi Maru, you know?
I did. That's insane. But also, it's like if Kirk had created the Kobayashi Maru knowing he was going to cheat on the Kobayashi Maru.
That's brilliant. That's like some real galaxy brain.
I come up with the icebreakers, so I came up with an icebreaker only I could pull the, well, actually on.
I'm going to design a test that can't be beaten unless you cheat, which I'm going to do.
I'm going to design this test, cannot be beaten unless you cheat, and then I'm going to get them to administer the test to me.
And I'm going to cheat on it.
And then they'll give me a spaceship because I'm so good at cheating.
I love that, dude. Starfleet.
Hell yeah.
Cheaters never win, except sometimes.
Unless you're Captain Kirk.
Unless you're Captain Kirk.
Who proceeded to cheat on half the galaxy.
Hey, what a man, what a man, what a man.
But sorry, you were talking about in college some weird, gross, awful abomination you did to food?
Yeah, yep, among many. One among many. What I would do is after a night of... drinking.
Oh no.
Because I would be very hungover. So the next morning, either, you know, pick the morning. Usually it was a Saturday or a Sunday when I had nothing going on. I started doing this thing where I would go to, there was a, what was it? It was like a Persian convenience store like right across from me. It wasn't like Persian, but it was owned by a bunch of like Persian guys. They were really cool. And I would literally, what I would do is I would get like an everything pizza, a frozen pizza from there. And then I would buy a bunch of eggs, ham, cheese, turkey, sometimes bacon, but I like didn't know how to make, I didn't at the time, I was like, I didn't want to make bacon in like a pan. So what I would literally do is I would make basically all of the eggs when I got home and then throw in the cheese, the meats. I don't even know if I would add like any onions or anything to it, because I think at that point I was like that's too much cooking for me. And obviously the pizza would be in the oven. I'd make the eggs and I'd make them like, you know, scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
And I would just put them all on the pizza and I would just like wait and sit. And I'd cut it up and I'd sometimes have this stuff right after, but really what I would do is I would put it in Tupperware after it was done, like after it cooled down, and just like store it, and I'd like eat it throughout the day. Sometimes like eat it throughout the next few days. Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Disgusting, but so fucking good.
So I almost entirely understand, right? It's basically just a breakfast pizza, but instead of putting like the peppers and onions and olives or whatever in the eggs, they're just on the pizza. But you don't need to cook onions separately for your eggs. You can just throw that shit in there for if you're scrambling.
Dude, I can't begin to describe to you how I was like
And
stone
pepperoni
in.
from a Supreme?
I mean, Calvin could can could describe to you in great, horrible detail like my absolutely debauched, like
But
completely rudimentary Stone Age cooking skills. Like it wasn't even like.
you're talking to somebody who makes homemade, who has made homemade pizzas, like get the pre-done crust, throw whatever shit on there. I made a breakfast one where it was the crust, Alfredo sauce, some pre-cooked bacon that I just cut up, and then I microwaved two of those frozen hash brown patties that are like rectangles and threw that shit on there. And then cheese.
You did this recently?
Within the year.
Yeah, I mean that. What was that? What did you make? What did you make last night? Those enchiladas? Was that what that started out as? Or
Yeah,
it
so
looked
last
really
night I
good.
went. That's another. Like, my cooking adventures tend to. I get ambitious ideas and then don't understand how to portion.
Me too.
Because I had, like, rice and a thing of corn and a thing of mushrooms. And I was gonna make a rice bowl, but I was like, hey, you know what? Let's make enchiladas. I haven't done that. That'd be nice and fun. And I got a thing of beans, a can of black beans. And I was like, ah, I need to make sure I get some of the ingredients for these enchiladas. So I got 3 cans of enchilada sauce, because they seemed a little small, right? They were the smaller cans. I was like, yeah, you know, put some of the sauce in the mix, put some in the bottom, want to make sure I have enough to put over the top. So, you know, I'll get 3. And I had the tortillas already, and I was like, well, one bag of rice may not be enough. I used 2 bags the last time I made a casserole, so I'll grab another one just in case. And I got the like some pre-cooked fajita chicken, and I was like, eh, I could get the family size bag, but the family size bag and the small bag is the same price as like the pre-cooked made from the rotisserie chicken container that Walmart sells, so like I could spend the $9. And you know, if I have some left over, I can just add it to like a burrito bowl or something. And I got a thing of green chilies, and I saw this recipe for John Wayne, like a John Wayne casserole or some shit that was just like, oh, it's just beef, cheese, onions, and peppers or whatever. And they'd said like, oh, bell pepper and onion. And I was like, ooh, I should get some fresh veggies to throw in this. I'll get an onion and I'll get 2 bell peppers, one green and one red. That'll be nice. And I got home and I started making it and I cut up the onion and I cut up the peppers and started those cooking with some butter. And I cooked the things of rice and I opened all the tins. I also got cheese. I got sharp cheddar, Colby Jack, and a thing of the Cojita, like crumbly Mexican cheese. And I started mixing the first. I put the rice into the first bowl, and I mixed. Started mixing all the other things in for the filling, and I went, "Oh, you know, it's a little much, but you know, I can. I got the rest of it. I'll figure something out." And I went and made the first enchilada, and I like put the filling in the tortilla, and I rolled up the tortilla, and I put it in the tray, and I went, "Well, shit! At this rate, I'm gonna have like 4 to 6 enchiladas in this tray, and I'm still gonna have like half my filling." And I have like a whole nother bowl's worth of filling sitting on the counter in like the various ingredients. All right, fuck it, we're going casserole. That the 9x8, the 9x13 pan I made a casserole out of, when I tell you that thing was full, I mean it was full. Like we were at the top of the pan and overflowing a little bit with the cheese that I put on top. It was a full pan.
Do you have a name for it? Because I feel like that's kind of a
Death.
new. Did you
It.
say, you said death?
Think of the most. What is the most calorie dense food you've ever eaten?
Oh, that's a great question. I would honestly assume probably one of those cinnamon rolls from Quick Trip.
Those are only like 500 calories.
Fucking, I don't know. I mean,
I'm telling you right now, it's this casserole.
okay.
I tell you, this casserole
All
is
right.
dense. It's dense.
RJ's dark matter casserole.
It basically is. It is stick to your ribs, hearty, filling, and I had two bowls of it. Oh, and I mixed in some jarred Taco Bell queso.
Oh.
It needed no condiments.
Next time we get together, you gotta make this. You should make this. You should bring it to like a...
There's a genuine chance I still have some by the time I come out to visit.
RJ's forever casserole, yeah.
Everything that was left over after I had my dinner last night, I have these two pretty good-sized Tupperwares, right? They're like deep. I'd say good, like, size of your hand, maybe, deep. Like, they're probably, like, 6-inch long, 2-inch wide. Like, these are sturdy Tupperwares. They're both full.
Damn,
they were both full, and I had two bowls for dinner tonight, and it cut one of them in half.
Man. Yeah, you're gonna have to make this, dude. I want a taste of this. I want a taste. Really, really, really.
You can make it yourself at home.
Can you post the recipe?
I just listed it. Oh, wait, hang on. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Bake for 20 to 30 minutes until the tortillas on top are brown. And then throw the cheese on there. Continue to bake until the cheese is toasty. To your level of satisfaction.
Taco Bell cheese?
Nah, that's the cheddar and the Colby Jack.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to keep in mind that most of the tortillas will be very well and soft from the enchilada sauce and all the toppings. But if you put sauce and then tortilla down on the bottom, which I need to stop doing this, the weight of the casserole pushes all of the enchilada sauce off the bottom so that it's just tortilla right onto the glass. Or Pyrex.
What's the advantage of that?
There isn't one. It sticks. It's hard to get off there. I don't know why I do it.
I mean, it's nice to have, like, kind of a...
Honestly, base, it should be sauce, know? Then the filling, then the tortilla.
Yeah, but I feel like... I seriously feel like having that base, even if it's hard to get off. I mean, just put like, cooking oil or something. I'll put, like...
Well, that wouldn't do me any good, because I'm putting the cooking oil down, then I'm putting the enchilada sauce down, and then it's the tortilla, and then the weight of everything on the tortilla pushes the sauce and the cooking oil out from underneath it.
What about putting the olive oil or the cooking oil on the tortilla?
What if I just didn't put the tortilla down first? It's a casserole. It doesn't need a base.
I know, but still. I like the thought of it, because then it's almost like a sandwich at that point.
This is like a lasagna, honestly.
It kind of is. Yeah.
RJ's Which lasagna. I did have the idea of pizza enchiladas.
Oof.
You take two tortillas, put cheese in between them like you were going to do a quesadilla, and then you fill them with a mixture of sauce, cheese, and your pizza toppings of your choice. Wrap them up in the tortilla and put it in the thing like any way you would an enchilada, but instead of enchilada sauce, you use marinara. And then as you bake it, the quesadilla that you've made that is holding everything will bake, and it'll be like a stuffed crust pizza crust.
Damn, dude. It's like a Mexican calzone.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, see, like, me from college James would have been like, this is, like, high art. This is science, you know?
It
like,
is.
I was, like, way too late. I was too lazy to make good stuff, so.
Oh, tell me about it. This is, like, a once every, like, 3 months I do this kind of cooking.
I like to, depending on what I'm feeling, I will reserve, because the thing is, like, I'm developing a noticeable pattern or habit to my weeks more and more, and Sunday so far, for the most part, remains my, like, Sunday is my day where I, like, do absolutely nothing. Like, I basically sit and eat and watch TV, and that's, like, I do. And that usually what I will do, it depends, but I usually like to make like a meal on there. So I'll make like an extra, like a nice sandwich, or like I made a couple grilled cheeses yesterday.
You make a meal. Spinach. You make a nice sandwich as opposed to all yeah. the shitty sandwiches.
No, I'll make like, you know, like I'll make like a, it'll be like a, like I made, yesterday I made like a couple grilled cheeses with like pepper jack cheese Ooh. And spinach and onions.
Okay.
On sourdough bread, buttered it, put it in the skillet, like, you know, and then if I had.
Don't do butter.
Yeah. Why?
Do mayo.
On the outside or yep, on the.
On the outside. It's what the restaurants do.
Oh, dude, I know my, I, cause I'm at my mom's house right now and I, like, she has mayo, but I checked it, it was expired. I was like, fuck, damn it. But that's good. That's good advice. Cause I was like, this is good. It just needs a little more flavor. The pepper jack cheese wasn't as like, didn't hit me as much as I thought it would, but it was still, it was delicious.
Here's the grilled cheese you got to make. You're going to go to the store.
Okay.
You're going to get all the stuff to make lasagna. Like the cheese filling, right? The ricotta,
yeah.
The whatever the fuck else, the Parmesan, the marinara. Keep the marinara off to the side. But you make the cheese filling, the spinach. You mix that all up. You put that between two slices of Texas toast and you grill that shit. Dip it in marinara. You're welcome.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's like, it's kind of like a deconstructed meatball sub.
It's literally a lasagna sandwich.
Yeah. That's. I love sandwiches. I used to like when I was a kid, like if we were having like food, like sometimes I would go, you know, we're having like
you're having a nice even, like, ham dinner. You got the ham, carrots, potatoes.
Yeah.
And, like you go and grab the bread and you're like, "Hell yeah."
Yeah, I would ask if I could get, like, two pieces of bread, and I'd be like, yeah, can I do this?
It's and, Christmas like, dinner it's with especially... the turkey, and you yes. grab that dinner roll, and you cut that shit open, and everything goes inside.
Hell yeah, dude, you just fucking stuff it in there. You just,
it's even better when they're like, those out. Little dinner rolls, so it's like, not a ton is gonna fit in here, but I'm gonna get everything from the table on the roll in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, man, you're a man after my own heart. I do that with, that's actually, because I was looking this up like a year ago, it's like each state has its own like official sandwich, and I believe the official state sandwich for Delaware is literally called the Thanksgiving Day sandwich.
Oh my
and it's,
God.
It is like, it started because, it's like a, it's something you can actually buy from restaurants in like Delaware and stuff like that, and it
Why?
Started, well, it started because people like, had all these leftovers the day after Thanksgiving and they would just people just started like putting them on, you know, between two pieces of bread and maybe they grill them or maybe they toast them or do whatever. So yeah, so it became like a thing. Which I really,
oh,
really, really want to make. But
so allegedly the state sandwich, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the state sandwich is for Wisconsin is either the brat or the cannibal sandwich.
Yeah, I've heard the cannibal sandwich. I don't know if I feel like asking if a hot dog is a sandwich is like asking if like cereal is a soup. You know what I mean?
Hot dogs like, are sandwiches. It's just they're a specific type of sandwich, and you're never gonna call them like, "Hey, you want some sandwiches?" Yeah, sure, great. Here's a hot dog.
Yeah.
It's like saying, "Hey, yeah, you want some soup? Like, yes, please. All right, here's your bowl of cereal."
That's fair.
Like,
that's
I think that's my rule of thumb when it comes to any of those stupid, like, pop tarts or raviolis. Like, no. If you ask me, "Do you want this?" and I'm disappointed by what you hand me, that means it's not the thing.
Yeah, well, it's because it's more of a semantic argument, right? It's asking if, like, is a ravioli the thing specifically, or is it, can you use it as a descriptive term for, like, a general class of foods? But then there's a question, because it's like, okay, so is, like, is strudel then a ravioli, or is ravioli a strudel? You know what I mean? Like, how... from what point of reference are you actually going at this with, you know? And I think you can say the same thing. Like, you could make the case, like, is soup a cereal? Is it just because oatmeal is
not all soups are cereals?
How?
Cream of mushroom.
How is that not a cereal or candidate for one?
Cereals are grain based, right? Like even oatmeal, if you consider oatmeal cereal, is still like a grain.
But then how do you say like what's a soup then? Just liquid with stuff in it? Because then what is a cocktail a soup? Like what is it?
James?
We don't have to open this up. We don't have to. We took a peek inside Pandora's.
Here's the definer there. Are soups drinks? You can drink soup, but soups are not drinks. When you ask for a drinks menu at a restaurant, no one is going to say, okay, here you go, and you read off a bunch of soups. Therefore, cocktails are not soups.
Yeah, yes. But again, we're looking at this from a semantic lens of, like, is it being used
as a descriptor? If you widen out a semantic lens enough on any descriptor, though, you're going to find that everything is everything else.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are houseflies not humans? They're both carbon-based life forms.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Are water bottles, in fact, not cars? They're both made of inorganic material.
It becomes a question of degrees, I suppose. I am going to make that lasagna sandwich, though. Can you send me the recipe for that? I know you listed it off, but yeah.
I got you on that one. That one's easy enough. I'll post that one for the folks.
Hell yeah, dude.
Well, our next segment is Better Buddies Recommend, where we recommend a piece of media to enjoy. Would you like to start?
Yeah, I can go. Do you mind if I give like a little sidecar recommendation as well, actually? You do mind?
No, I'm kidding. Go for it.
So my little sidecar recommendation, I just figure I might start doing this occasionally since I do like rewatch so many things. over the weekend, I've been rewatching South Park recently, and I rewatched the very first episode of South Park. And I have to say, if you watch any episode of the show, watch the very first episode. Mainly because it is, excuse me, it is literally like a student film that got put on national television. Like, it's the only episode of the show that's animated in the stop motion way that the rest of the show's animation was based on. If you watch closely, you can even see certain frames where hands are visible, like for just literally a split second. The humor is like crude, but there's something very like charming about it. Like it really does feel like a short film that like a group of like friends kind of made together. And I would really, really recommend it. I find it very charming. My main recommendation, my non-review recommendation is I was like ambling around online today because people have been posting reviews about the Taylor Swift album, about her new album
one that dropped
like
out of nowhere. That I like the aesthetics of some of the clips I've seen from the music videos, but I'm not sure I'm not a Swiftie, so I'm like, I don't need to worry about this.
Yeah, exactly. It's very like I've listened to all of Taylor's albums except for the Taylor version, like Taylor's version albums, and Midnights, and now this one. I don't feel particularly like drawn to Taylor Swift. Like her music does not connect with me necessarily. I don't really think it's meant
to. You're just a Swiftie waiting to happen.
I'm being primed to be a Swiftie, and I can see the appeal because the same like the way that some of these girls talk about Taylor Swift is the way that I talk about like Quentin Tarantino. So I have to like,
oh God,
I know by my own.
I was hoping you'd have like at least a better pull than that.
Yeah, it's not
most basic ass film bro deity. Like, come on.
Hey, dude, I'm just saying,
he's a foot
good,
fetishist.
Well, there are worse things to be. That's on the edge of acceptable.
I was about to get murdered in my sleep by Swifties, because I was about to say you could be Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
take it back.
Oh, shit!
Oh, no, they're at my door!
Drive-by shooting! Take that, Taylor. No, but basically... anyway, I was bopping around online. I saw some reviews of this. One of the reviews linked to this zine slash like essay that was written by this this girl named Tavi Gevinson.
Okay.
T-A-V-I-G-E-V-I-N-S-O-N. And I feel like I've loosely heard about this girl, but not really. So Tavi Gevinson, she's about her age. She was born April 21st, 1996. I only know that because I'm looking at like the results for her on Google right now.
Okay.
But she became very famous as a teenager because she was like this kind of accidental fashion blogger who kind of captured a very idiosyncratic like aesthetic and look, and was very much like kind of one of the first people of our generation on the internet to kind of make it big. Some people call her like a proto influencer almost, although I always find that label demeaning. But
here we see the proto influencer embedded in the internet shale.
Yes. Yeah, we need like a David Attenborough for internet history. But she got kind of famous. She ran like a blog for a while that kind of became its own little fashion magazine. And it eventually went defunct, but she's kind of been floating around and doing her own thing. She's kind of just a fixture of internet culture. And she wrote this zine, it's more of like an essay, an essay collage kind of, where it's called Fan Fiction, and it's cataloging her experiences with Taylor Swift, because she was not only a fan of Taylor when she was in middle school, and granted, this girl got famous like when she was like 13. So there's parallels between her and Swift's like story for sure. But she was listening to Taylor, and she came to her initially as someone who's like, I don't know, she's too poppy. I'm more like I'm either too regular or too like artistic or whatever for this, blah, blah, blah. She eventually gets like, kind of turned around. She really ends up really liking Taylor Swift, and she actually ends up meeting her, and the two hung out, kind of, it seems like semi-regularly for a while. Now I'm only about midway through this essay. I'm recommending this essay.
Okay.
I'm recommending Tavi Gevinson's.
How do you spell that?
So Tavi is T-A-V-I. Gevinson is G-E-V-I-N-S-O-N.
Okay.
It's called a zine, but I think, again, you should just call it an essay. It's called Fan Fiction. It's very interesting so far. I recommend it because it's an interesting cultural study on Taylor Swift from somebody who has had both like an outsider and insider, and then quite literally a personal like relationship with this person who's kind of dominating culture. If you want my honest opinion on Miss Swift, I think she's very talented. I think she is at her peak. I think that it's very clear that the culture is going to not turn on her, but I think she's going to become less and less.
She looks great as a milkshake shop employee in roller skates in a very specific phone company advertisement from 2020.
Does she really? I haven't seen this commercial.
To be fair, I didn't realize it was her at first. I was just like, damn, that's an attractive woman.
She's pretty. She's pretty. She's talented. She's probably stupidly smart in certain ways.
To survive the fame as long as she has, she is
it's impressive.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
She's resilient, like, I will give her that, but I really think, like, in certain parts of Tavi's essay, this kind of gets pointed out, where she's kind of talking about how, just the idea that, like, how long can something that's meant to sort of, like, encapsulate youth sort of last?
Survive.
And the thing that may
grow up?
Yeah, basically. And the thing that may honestly determine Taylor's ability as an artist and her possibly, depending on how closely they're tethered, which with a lot of artists, it's very close, on her own personal ability to mature it's really going to, like, I think her ability to move beyond this current era, so to speak, of her is going to very much determine, like,
didn't she just have a whole tour about her eras?
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. So, like, if she's saying,
doesn't she have a proven track record of moving through eras?
Yes, but the eras, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Taylor Swift. And if you want me to be mean, this is what I'll say. I'm going to sound like a pretentious,
the Swifties are gonna get you.
Artsy white guy here. Okay, so, like, Taylor Swift is a very good musical artist, but she does one thing. She does one thing, like, over and over and over again. And, like, you want to compare her to someone like, I'm going to be super fucking basic here. The Beatles, all right? And granted, it was four people, Taylor's just one.
Took four people to equate to one Taylor Swift.
But, you look at almost every single Beatles album, and not only are the themes different, what they're singing about is different. The topics of the songs are weird. Like,
some of them got real fucking weird. Fun fact, yeah, I learned last week, while My Guitar Gently Weeps was based off of, I want to say, George Harrison, going to the dictionary and pulling two words at random.
Really? What word? Like,
guitar and weeps?
Damn.
Oh, no, sorry. It was gently weeps. Gently and weeps.
So, that's the thing. Like, with other musical artists, like, that is what, to me, defines a true artist, is, like, the mediums that they're able to work in, either, like, across artistic disciplines or within their own. And, like, many artists cannot really do more than their, like, home field. And I think Taylor is very talented in her own. I think it's very intricate, but I think she is completely, she is a one note artist who sings a very beautiful one note. And there's something, like, admirable in that, but, like, compared to other quote unquote greats, like, she may as well have one album, you know? So if she can move beyond this and, like, make really, really weird, interesting music, which I don't know, maybe that's just me being fucking biased and being like, I want her to make the stuff I want to see, you know, which is selfish.
James really wants Taylor Swift to put out a Tibetan throat singing album.
Yeah, that's really what I want Taylor Swift to do is, I would love to see her just get, like, she gets
way too far into rap for it to be comfortable for a white woman.
Yeah, exactly. She enters her NWA era. No, I just, like, she gives me consistently the vibes of someone, of, like, the girl at the front of the class who turns in her test and she's like, oh my god, I totally failed, but she gets, like, 102, you know, and it's like, all right, okay.
Oh, that person, like, god, I can picture, like, it now.
I'm not saying that you haven't had struggles. I'm not saying that, like, your emotions are not valid. And there are plenty of people who could point to me and say, like, very similar things. It's just, like I'd like to think that, like, I personally have branched.
If you're able to date Tom Hiddleston, how badly is your life?
I mean, honestly, I'm not saying
you dating a goddamn football player right now had many other options, has money. Yes, there's difficulties because, you know, fame brings public attention and paparazzi. But also, you have enough money to just have a jet. You have fuck around money. Go find out.
Well said. Well said. That's some real and humorous advice for you, Taylor Swift. Go find out, right? You know?
Which, to be fair, she kind of is finding out because she did all the Taylor's version shit where it's like, well, this is my version without studio interference, and also I get royalties on this one that I don't get from the studio versions, so listen to these.
Yeah, there's just a huge question as to, like, do you actually, like, and I know it's like, I know she's a pop artist, I know that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know that there are constraints with that, but it's just like, do you actually care about, like, if you care about your art or the people that you make it for or both, like, the goal should be to be as honest with yourself as possible at, like, at all times, while still ironically leaving room for a little dishonesty that allows you to make something that you personally like, you know, because that's like, if you're not going to make something you like, it's very hard to actually make something that connects with anyone, which is why, like, art is usually something of a narcissistic, like, enterprise. But, like, I want to see her do something really different from what she's done before. And I feel like she always sings about relationships or fame or all this other stuff. And again, it's not like the Beatles were, like, groundbreaking. I mean, they were.
In my opinion, there are two groundbreakers in music, or at least the top two groundbreakers in music, and the number one is the king himself, Elvis Presley,
mm-hmm.
and number two is the Beatles.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, pop music, like, absolutely, I would say. Like, I think it's just, like, just do something, like, you have it. You have the ability, clearly.
Okay. Like, so here's a thought I want to run past you. Kind of a little devil's advocate on this.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, right now, the way we've kind of been talking about her reminds me of those authors who write one book. Right? Yeah. Like, particularly, like, I think the best example on my shelf is Jim Butcher. Jim Butcher writes the Dresden Files, and he writes some other stuff too. Like, he's got a really good series where he literally wrote an entire book because one guy, like, his buddy was like, "Hey, I bet you can't write a book on two random topics." And he's like, "Ah, okay, hit me with it." And the topics were the Roman Empire and Pokemon. And he created an entire series around it where, like, this lost legion ended up in a magical land where they could control, like, everybody had, like, an elemental.
Okay.
But really, everybody, if you say Jim Butcher and anybody knows who he is, their first thought is Harry Dresden, which is the noir detective series about a modern day magician in Chicago. But it's one of those books where you're not expected to pick up the first one and start there. They expect you to find it in airport and pick up whatever one is on the shelf and start there. Because they explain everything you need to know in the first chapter in every single book. And in a similar way, Taylor Swift, like, the way you're describing her is, this is her one thing that she's very, very good at. And that's what she likes doing, so she keeps doing it. In the same, a similar way, like, Stephen King, yeah, he's branched out a little bit a couple of times, but he's got a pretty consistent Stephen King's the horror guy.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I was thinking too, it's like Martin Scorsese is an example, like, he's done a bunch of different stuff.
But Quentin Tarantino's the foot guy.
Tarantino's the foot guy, foot and violence guy. I mean, Spielberg has done basically the same thing.
Spielberg's like the fun film guy.
Yeah, kids and magic and all that, and yeah, and so I can't.
Jones and Jaws.
Indiana Jones and Jaws, yeah. I can't fault Taylor for doing something that she likes to do. It's just like, maybe I'm just frustrated because it's like, it's frustrating to obviously see a cultural thing that you feel like locked out of. And I think I'm also like, I'm a critic by nature, to a degree, so I
critic
can't,
by nature,
like, I can't.
You're locked out, yeah, of it, and I know my experience with it has been,
yeah,
because it's so popular, I got a little grumbly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't want to be on the, I don't want to be in this. I want to stand out. I want to be unique. No, I don't like Taylor Swift because all of you like her, and I don't like being told what to do or what to like, so now I'm not going to do it because all of you are saying it's great, so I'm convinced it's not. Like,
she,
just
and she
a little
does
grumbly like that.
Yeah, like, to her credit, she does have albums recently where she's tried to go outside of what she's normally done. and I can appreciate that. I want to see her make like one, just one, like what's her Sergeant weird. Pepper's? Yeah, do something weird. Do something like, not like, because apparently a lot of the criticism with this album is that it's like the girl, again, it's like that front of the class girl who's like, now she, suddenly you walk in one day, she's sitting in one of the desks in the back and she's like dyed her hair black and she's wearing black nail polish and, you know, she's like, she's like, yeah, actually,
she's got South Park goth on it.
Yeah, she's got South Park goth, exactly. She's like, I'm actually really edgy now. And she, you know, you find her, like, trying to smoke a cigarette, like, out behind the school, like, and you're like, what? Like, like, what did you, like, all right, I mean, fair. Like, I guess if you, this
but
is
you
where
walk
you
up and
go.
It's not even a cigarette, it's one of those, like, candy cigarettes.
Yeah, it's just like yeah, exactly.
Sugar chalk. It's like, what are you, like, what are you doing?
I'm not saying she has to, like, ruin her life to, like, make a good album, like, but I think, like, that's probably the difficulty of her position is that if she wants to keep what she has, like, she has to do certain things, and that's very difficult because it's, like, creation by nature is an organic process, and it doesn't follow a timetable or a schedule and or a format, and, like, it wants to come out in, like, very different ways consistently, and if you don't remain open to that as an artist, like, you can start, you can keep channeling it through the same patterns that you've done, but that's where stuff gets stale. That's where it gets stale, and that's where you stop making art, and you just kind of start making your own, you're just writing your memoirs at that point. And there's a difference between, like, you know, an artistic romantic,
you never
want to
cover
that,
yourself.
No, you don't. Like, there's a difference between being, like, just like artistically autobiographical in like a work of art, and then just straight up just talking about yourself. So I don't know. I would recommend the essay, Fan Fiction by Tavi Gevinson. Very cool read, so far. Really enjoy it, and I'm interested to see how Taylor's story develops, as I'm sure many are. But yeah, well, that's my recommendation.
I'm gonna recommend something stupid, but I like it. This past weekend, I was at Goodwill, and among the DVDs, I found the Indiana Jones Extras DVD.
Mm.
Like, you know, like in the box sets, they'd put all the extras onto the DVD, like a different DVD.
Yeah.
It was that DVD.
Is this literally just a DVD of all the extras from the Indiana Jones movies?
Dude, yeah,
that's actually really cool.
It
Holy
had
shit.
Like
okay,
but like it's from the 2004 box set. The rest of it wasn't there. It was just the extras. And I went, yeah, I'll buy this. And last night I watched three of the thing as part of the like stuff on there. They had three videos, 50 minutes, 40 minutes, and 30 minutes on the trilogy, like the original Indiana Jones trilogy, because it was something like 2004. And it was just really interesting to see all the behind the scenes videos and like some of the stuff from the actors and actresses, and like fun fact, you remember the character Sala, right? Indy's friend from Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was originally supposed to be Danny DeVito.
No way, really?
Deadass.
What happened?
He had a TV show commitment.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Also, fun fact. The reason... Oh, I thought of this. The reason Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus is in the MCU today is because of Star Wars. So, and I will explain. George Lucas had, when he wanted to make his, like, big movie... wanted to make one based on the, like, matinee serial pictures, right? The, like, fun, campy. And his two ideas were a space opera or an archaeologist adventurer. He had both ideas at the same time. He ended up going with Star Wars. He shelved the archaeologist. And then a few years later, brought the idea back out with a writer. They got some ideas going. They shelved it again. brought it back out when he was in Hawaii on vacation after Star Wars came out, and looked at Steven Spielberg and said, "Hey, I got this idea for an adventure movie based on these like pulp serial matinees. It's this archaeologist adventure." And Spielberg was like, "Oh yeah, what? Tell me more about it." And he said, "Indiana Smith." And Spielberg said, "I'm in, but I hate the name." And so George Lucas said, "What about Indiana Jones?" And history was made. And because they filmed in Britain, at British sound stages, they looked at local talent for the film. Which is why Alfred Molina is in the first Indiana Jones movie as Indiana's assistant when he's going after the Golden Idol.
Yeah.
And prior to that, Alfred Molina had never been on camera. He was a stage actor.
No. Oh, shit. Are you serious? That was his first movie?
That was his first movie, was Indiana Jones.
That's so cool, dude. Holy shit.
And because he got into film acting, he then got, like, was doing film roles and got picked up for Spider-Man 2 to play Otto Octavius.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Good for him. That's awesome. That's how long, like, so did you watch, like, you said you, how many of these did you watch again? You watched, like, so it's the, just for the three? So
yeah, it was just for the like three. Nothing for Crystal Skull or the new one.
Did you cycle through, like, menus for them? Do they play all straight? Like, how does it?
You either, like, picked, oh, I want this one, or this one. Or you could pick, like, just play all. And it made sense, like, they got shorter on each one, because it's like, well, you don't need to go back over everything. Because they talked about a lot of stuff in the first ones. And then in The Last Crusade, the villain actress, she was 21, and it was her first film role. She was from Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. I remember her looking her up after the movie, because I was like, who is this again? I can't remember her name.
I don't remember. I have to go back and look. But and I learned that the female lead in Temple of Doom eventually became Steven Spielberg's wife, and was working on a doctor. Had to like half a doctorate when she did that film.
Really? Doctorate in what?
I don't know. But she mentioned, like, because part of her talking about the character she played, she was like, "Yeah, at the time I was really looking for like art films and foreign films, and this came along, and I was like." Yeah, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it was good that she did, because she met Spielberg. And she was really amazed, like, a lot of the backlash and critique at the time was like, well, this is anti-feminist, this character's anti-feminist, because she just runs around screaming at everything and is concerned about her dress and broken nails. And the actress was like, yeah, it was kind of weird, like, I consider myself feminist, like, I was a professional woman, I had kids, I had a job, I had a master's degree, I was working on a doctorate, but this role was really fun to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the nature of her character, right, is just supposed to be kind of, she's,
I mean, it's the nature of the character, nature of the time period it's set in, and the nature of the type of story they were telling, right?
Yeah, and it's, like, it's a good, because, like, they already had, in the first Indiana Jones movie, they already have the, like, cool, calm, cool, you know, former, like, Karen Allen's character is already the, like, oh, she's, like, you know, she's tough, and she can drink, and, like, blah, blah, blah. So it's, like, it's pretty funny to pair a guy like Indiana Jones, who does the type of stuff he does, up with a woman who is, like, who's very, like, conscious about her appearance, and who is, like, I don't want to get dirt on me, and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is, like, just off the bat, a very funny, like, pairing. Like, and it works really well for that movie. I can understand, having rewatched it somewhat recently, like, why people were annoyed with her, but, like, going back and rewatching it, I don't know. I find her performance very charming, and filled with a lot of genuine, like, pathos too. Like, it's not, she's not just an empty character, I don't think, in that movie. Like, there's something going on under the hood.
Harrison Ford also has a lot of jokes. Like, some of the behind the scenes set videos There's one where he's giving scene directions to his horse. Like, he's got the storyboard out, and he's talking the horse through the scene they're about to do.
Really?
And, like, which directions the horse needs to go. There's one where he's got his hat on his hand, and he's doing the same thing with the hat, and making the hat nod along with him. And, and with the rats scene in Last Crusade, they had a shit ton of rats that they bred for it. But there's a scene of, like, him sitting in his set chair, holding the rat, and, like, talking to the rat, and, like, he's literally making, like, rat noises and rat faces at the rat. And he's like, yeah, I had a few rats growing up. Like, he was, like, when he was, like, a camp counselor or something, he had, like, two pet rats, and then ended up with a bunch of rats. So he's like, yeah, and rats are, like, they have personalities, they're pretty smart, they're good animals.
Dude, he seems, it's so weird, because he seems like, he's such a... He is like almost kind of a character like a Jim Butcher novel in the sense that he's just the staple guy, you know what I mean, of like pop culture. Like the fact that he's been in, you could make the case he was in three of the most successful influential genre movies of the latter 20th
What's
century.
What's number three?
Blade Runner.
Oh yeah, duh. Well, he's done Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Blade Runner. He did a bunch of spy movies, which I don't remember which spy books they were, but they were like popular ones. And now he's going to be in the MCU.
Is he really?
Yep. Next Captain America movie.
Dang, dude.
And he was in the Expendables.
Was he really?
In like the second or third Expendables movie, he's like a pilot, like a former pilot who, because at that point the Expendables have gone from like a mercenary group to being like an official government organization, and he's their like handler.
You and I should, we gotta sit down sometime, we gotta get drunk and we gotta watch Expendables. I've actually never seen one of those movies.
Saw parts of one of the movies and I own the trilogy. I have seen the first movie. The first movie is exactly what you think it should be.
I really want to watch it now. So it's worth it?
No, but it's exactly what you think it should be, so yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't really know what to expect going into it, but it was like, well, it's Sylvester Stallone and a bunch of action hero dudes being action hero dudes, so, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You're not going to put too critical an eye on it, you know?
It's a good Friday night movie.
I don't like Jason Statham, though. I
don't know
nothing
if I've
against
ever,
him,
yeah.
But everything I see Jason Statham in, he is like the second string action hero. And every other movie I see that he's the lead in, like I don't watch them. I just see that he's the lead in. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. Because you're trying so goddamn hard to be The Rock and Sylvester Stallone and Vin Diesel and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, you want to be in that tier of action hero, and you're just not.
Yeah, he does read as kind of bland.
Like, I'd rather watch Brad Pitt. Wait, I take that back. I have seen one film of his. Shit, what was it called? It was like Operation something. Operation Fortune, that's what it was. Because his character's last name was Fortune. It was a spy movie that had Aubrey Plaza in it. And it was like, okay, this is a spy film. You managed to get some big-name B-list actors, or like lesser-known these days actors in it. You've got Jason Statham in the lead. Cary Elwes is his handler. Aubrey Plaza is his tech girl. Cool.
That's fun. Was it worth it?
It was worth the $5 I paid for the DVD out of the Walmart bin, and apparently it was so worth it that I accidentally bought it twice.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, really quick. I do have a question if we're talking about Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Which one are you picking out of the main three?
Do I have to pick one?
Yeah.
Oh, golly. If I had to pick just one, I would pick The Last Crusade. If I was going to pick one Indiana Jones movie to show somebody, I'm picking The Last Crusade because it gives you a good progression of who Indiana is. It starts off with young Indiana, transitions to him as the professor, then he goes on the adventure, you get the whole thing with his dad, so you learn more about Indiana, but also he's having adventures fighting Nazis, and then he gets tempted by the power of the Grail, but he gives it up for friends and family.
That's a good answer. I completely forgot that it starts out with the young Indiana Jones. That's such a great opening sequence, too.
It is, but looking back on it, because I did watch it when I went to Japan last year, or came back from Japan, or whatever, and then, like, some of the scenes in the behind-the-scenes video, it was like, man, that is an on-the-nose sequence. Like, we are going to establish everything about Indiana Jones in these first 10 minutes.
It is true. He kind of, like, his whole character was formed on that.
He hates snakes now. Like, he uses the bullwhip. Here's the hat. Yeah. Here's the treasure. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. His whole motivation for, like, you can't steal that. It belongs in a museum. You know, like, there's hints of that.
It's important to history.
Yeah. Shut up, nerd. What a fucking idiot.
Well, that's what happens, because the, like, version of him that's just a treasure hunter catches him and beats him and is like, kid, we were legally authorized to be digging there. So, good luck on that one. Bye.
Yeah. That's right. It's like the handsome leader is the guy who gives him the hat.
Or no, I think I don't remember if he gives him the hat or not. But yeah, it's like, oh, that's an Indiana Jones of the future.
Yeah.
Also, Tom Selleck was almost Indiana Jones.
Really?
Yep, and then Magnum P.I. happened.
I can't imagine Indiana Jones with a mustache.
Like, they literally did a test screening with him, and then the head of CBS said, hey, wait a minute, we have a TV show with him. Give him back. And then they went and made Magnum P.I.
Dang. But close.
Good thing it wasn't. And they almost didn't use Harrison Ford, specifically because the George Lucas didn't want to have, like, a Robert De Niro situation happening where, like, he always used Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I mean, some actors, it's just too hard because it's like they're so good at playing a very specific archetype that is just universally translatable across multiple films and genres. But I do understand that.
Yeah. But yeah, Indiana Jones bonus content. And coming next week, probably, Star Wars bonus content.
Oh, can't wait.
Because they also had the Star Wars box set DVD there. But it was very clearly not for the 1, 2, and 3 DVDs that were there.
Dude, finding some serious hauls at the Walmart bin.
No, these were Goodwill.
Mm.
So I paid $3. For real, though, go to Goodwill. There's a great DVD selection at Goodwill. Like, I found multiple Marvel movies. I've picked up both of the original Hellboy movies. I picked up Bionicle Mask and the Mask of Light.
Are you serious?
Hell yeah!
Dude, that is a throwback. Oh my god. Oh my god.
So, yeah. That's my recommendation, and that puts us a little over time this week, because we got a little sidetracked on cooking and Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure as always.
It is a pleasure. Thank you to the band Problem of Interest for letting us use the song Living in the Moment off the album Cross Off Yesterday. You can find them on iTunes and Spotify. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are sold, unless one of those podcast hosting platforms wants to give us an exclusive deal. We're also on social media. Our Facebook is Better Buddies, where we have our Meme Mondays, and our Icebreaker Questions, which are a little off now because we're improvising on the go. Our Twitter is @BetterBudCast. Use the hashtag BetterBuddies when you tweet about the show. Our YouTube is Better Buddies, but with the numbers at the end of the purple logo. Don't go follow those other guys. They don't post as many videos as I do. And our Gmail account is betterbuddiescast@gmail.com. You can send us fan art, hate art, fan mail, hate mail, declarations of love and or war, icebreakers you want us to answer, or questions you need advice on. And last but not least, be a better buddy.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to be booted back a little bit technologically. I'm no. sure. Inconvenient. No.
No. I had stuff no. I wanted to do, James.